And I don't know if he's been all right since. He's like thinking to himself, Dad, you brought me to this place. This big hairy man that I don't know done got my nose. It's earlier than I like to wake up on Sunday. You know, it's all this stuff going on. So that's my bad. Welcome to Christ Community Church. I think I'm safe in saying this. I will not get your nose, okay? I've learned my lesson. Your noses are safe, okay? But just be here. Worship the Lord. It's in that time of year, that Christmas season, where it just seems to me extra great to worship God. It's just good. Enjoy it. Enjoy being in the house of God today. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, we do give you all the praise. We love you. We thank you for who you are. And I pray that you'd give us right now just the focus to be here, present. Not a part of all the busyness of this season, but a part of the beautifulness of this season. A part of the real reason for it. So help us, Lord, to focus on you. And we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. to start working in those Christmas songs. And I know everybody knows this one, so join us in singing Silent Night. Father God, as John brings the message, I just pray that you would speak through him and let us hear exactly what we need to hear this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Wasn't that pretty? Wow. Give the Lord a hand. That was just pretty. Have you noticed that we had some ladies up here? I was going to say elves, but I figured y'all knew it wasn't elves. It was just a group of ladies that came and decorated for Christmas. So we got a pretty backdrop here, and it's just a pretty time of year. Have y'all come to the conclusion that you don't need to take for granted any of the pretty that you can get in this world? You find something that's beautiful. You find something that's pretty. You find something that's good. The Bible says put your mind on those things. Don't take them for granted. Mark them. Pay attention to them. Be thankful for them. It's important. Beauty might be the rare commodity in this world. And so we need to appreciate it when we find it, when we see it. Nani, are you going? Miss Helen, are you going? Okay, Nani and Nani's kids, ready, break. All right. And that's, Keisha's alarm went off also. There you go. That looks like a real old-fashioned cell phone. Like, well, I'm glad to be with you. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. We're going through the Gospel of Mark. We're not going really slow, but we're not going fast at all. And that's all right. Our idea is to get a picture of Jesus. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are pictures of Jesus Christ in writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, perfect and inerrant. This is the clear view. If you want to know who Jesus is, you know, don't go to the History Channel. Don't go to the Discovery Channel or PBS. Don't read books about Jesus that other people wrote, no matter how well-meaning they may have been. Go to the source. Go to the Scripture. And that's what we're doing in this sermon series, is we're going to the source. We're going to look at Jesus through the Gospels. And we're in Gospel of Mark in chapter 3. And we mentioned beauty, but this chapter is not a beautiful chapter. This passage doesn't record the fun, high points, loving times that we would like to see. And one of the beautiful things maybe about this is that God shares those times with us. In the Scripture, God shows us that Jesus had hard times, that Jesus had opposition. He faced opposition. Matter of fact, the Gospels are not shy at all about showing the opposition that the Son of God faced. As we come into this Christmas season, one of the things we should remember, it's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, that when Christ was born, there was three, I used to call them wise guys. Three wise guys came from the east, magi, wise men. They came looking for the one who was to be born the King of the Jews, the Christ, the Messiah, because they had seen the stars and they had known the prophecies where it had been foretold. And they came to Jerusalem and they spoke to the king and told the king what was going on. And if you remember that story, the king said, y'all go ahead, find them. And when you find them, come back and tell me, because I want to worship him too. And you remember right from Jesus' birth, there was opposition. It was like this world did not want to have the big boss come down. It was like there was a resistance right from the beginning to the Messiah and the One. And we're going to look at opposition to Jesus in this passage in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. But we need to begin looking at the opposition to Jesus for what it really is. And it's not just a simple topic. And so this message is not going to be straightforward, simple. But I hope as we see Jesus, we'll be inspired to say, Lord, make me more like you in how you faced the opposition you faced. Here's the word of God, Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. Then the multitude came together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of demons he casts out demons. So he called them to himself, and he said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. He said this because they said he has an unclean spirit. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." But he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" And then he looked around in the circle that was at that sat about him, and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother." Father God, would you help us as we look at this episode in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, an episode that you saw fit to capture in your eternal word, that we might benefit, that we might grow, that we might learn. Would you benefit us today, Lord? Would you teach us? Be our teacher. Would you encourage those who are being beat down by opposition? Would you enlighten us to where and why some of it may be happening? Encourage us, strengthen us, and teach us, Lord. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we see, and I think it's just really appropriate because I've seen some of y'all, seen some of y'all's faces, and you need to know this. Jesus knows how to be busy. Because I've seen some of y'all, and you're already all caught up in the busiest season of the year. You're already running to and fro like a dog chasing his tail in a circle. You're already getting beat down by some of the busyness of the year. I love this first verse. "And the multitude came together again." You know, and it just had to be, it's emphasized on purpose so that we would know Jesus went through these things. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was still subject to having really, really busy days. I know some of us, you know, you work and you have to get ready for work and you go to work and you come back from work and you do whatever it is you got to do and there's other things and it might seem like every day is closing in on you. If you went to Walmart, we were talking about going to Walmart on Saturday, and I went to Walmart on Saturday this past Saturday. Yesterday, I went there. You know what I bought? Nothing. I wasn't even going to get in one of them lines. I was like, whatever it was, it's not that important. We'll eat tomorrow. You know? I had some dog food, and I was like, I'll break him off something we got. You know what I'm saying? It's all right. I ain't messing with that place. You know, and it was so hectic. It was so busy. And it's the end of the school year, and there's science projects, and there's reading fairs, and I have to give final exams tomorrow and Wednesday to people who don't want them. And everybody's busy, and everybody's running. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus got so busy that he didn't eat. It says, "And the multitude gathered together again, that they didn't so much as eat bread." Now, the thing I know about my running that might be different from your running is my running always has lunch involved somehow or another. That's part of the running. Like, oh, I'm running. I'm really busy. I think I can make it to McAllister's. Jesus was busy. He worked hard. So if you're in that group, you're in that boat, and you know what it's like, well, know that Jesus Christ can relate to you, and you can relate to him. He was going. He had a busy life. He was in a busy season. To add to that busyness, what we have is two forms of opposition. Two forms of opposition. We're actually going to take the second form first. The first form of opposition that Jesus had to deal with during this busy time is what I just call malicious opposition. Mean-spirited opposition. A foe, not a friend. An enemy, somebody trying to tear him down. We know that these enemies tried to tear him down because earlier in this chapter, in verse 6, it says the Pharisees went out, they immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. So we see in chapter 22, the scribes who would have been a part of that Pharisee group came down from Jerusalem and they bring an opposition against him. And I want us to notice it. It has two parts. And Mark really separates it in two parts. The first part is against him personally. Basically what they said was, "You're full of the devil." That's what they said to Jesus. "He has Beelzebub." Beelzebub is one of those words. Some people think it means the king of the flies, lord of the flies, or this or that. This is what it means. Precisely, we don't know, but the figure of speech means you have the ruler, the king, the boss of demons inside you. Beelzebub would be the boss of the demonic spirits. Perhaps Satan himself, but this was a name for the head honcho, the grande queso of demons. He says, that's who you got living in you. This is a personal attack. This is attack against his motives. This is attack against why he's doing what he's doing. You're doing things inspired by the spirit of the devil. It's an attack against his person. You're nothing but a shell who is filled with evil, and that's why you're doing the things you're doing. Now let's recap for a second and think about what Jesus was doing. He was preaching the gospel. He was healing the sick. And he was casting out demons. All those good works you're doing, those are nothing but signs of the devil. Wow. See, these attacks don't have to make any kind of sense. Understand this, when somebody attacks you, and it's a malicious attack against your person, don't try to make sense out of it. Jesus was a preaching, healing, casting demon out dude. And they accused him of being filled with the devil. It don't make no sense. It was an attack. It was an opposition. It was just trying to stop him. It was trying just to slow him on his roll and not to, just to unrail him, just to have some kind of answer because they were jealous. In our world today, I hear stuff. It doesn't make any sense. Well, Christians are just out for themselves. That's why they do all that charity work. That's why they started the hospitals, and that's why they've got the orphanages. They're just trying to do something to make themselves look big. Give me a break. Jesus is going to say later, good trees bear good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit. You'll know them by your fruits. Well, here's a guy doing good things, preaching, healing, and casting out demons. And here's another group saying, you got a devil in you. Come on now. It seems to lay itself out pretty clear. They just were jealous. They had something going on. They were just attacking him. If you end up in this position where you're attacked and it don't make sense, don't try to find sense. You're not going to find any. But Jesus did give them a warning. Jesus in verse 30 talks about what we call the unforgivable sin. I'm sorry, verses 28 and 29. The unforgivable sin. Jesus warns them and says, you all had better be careful. Because there's a lot of forgiveness in God. But when you blaspheme, when you speak evil against the Spirit of God, you are truly walking in the danger zone. You are walking in a place that if you don't change, you will never receive forgiveness. Why would he be saying that? Why is it so rough? Why is it you can blaspheme the Father and blaspheme the Son and you can be forgiven, but if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you won't be forgiven? Why do you suppose that is? It's the Holy Spirit of God that makes us born again. It's the Holy Spirit of God who communicates the truth of the gospel to us. It's the Holy Spirit of God who works internally through us. And if we won't receive His work, we can't be saved. If you don't receive His work, you won't be saved. You won't want to believe. It's not a matter of some formula like, oh, I said this word against the Holy Spirit, now I'm forever condemned to hell. That's not what it's about. It's about staying in this place of hardness of heart where you attribute the goodness of God to something evil, and when you don't change, you won't receive forgiveness for that. It just won't happen. You can't. There's one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit's the one who lets you know that. If you shoot the messenger down when he's bringing the gospel, you're in deep trouble. Jesus is warning these guys. Why do you suppose Jesus is warning these guys? I'm going to answer that in a minute. But Jesus is warning them. Don't you do this. Don't you go down this road. Here's the Son of God in perfect relation with the Spirit of God, who did everything according to the Spirit of God. Every conversation he had, every disciple he chose, according to the Spirit of God. And these folks are so far gone that they attribute it to the head of the demons. And he says, y'all are in big trouble. Y'all in danger. Let's look at their next criticism, and then we'll ask why Jesus had something to do with them. They didn't just say he had a demon, but they said it was by the ruler of demons that he cast out demons. It's by the ruler of demons that you cast out demons. What was their logic in this? Again, it wasn't any. Jesus is going to say, they won't stand. If Satan is divided against Satan, it won't stand. If a house is divided against a house, it won't stand. If a country is divided against itself, it won't stand. If a church is divided against itself, it won't stand. If a team is divided against itself, it won't stand. I'm looking at Coach Curry, coach soccer for forever, as far as I know. I don't know how long it was. 389 years, something like that. But if your goalie is intent on scoring goals on your own team, you're in big trouble. You can't stand. You're going to have to change the goalie. Something's going to have to happen. Everybody on the team's got to be having the same goal, going the same way. Jesus says your argument doesn't make any sense, and it shows that y'all are just trying to attack me. Again, if somebody comes and tries to attack you, don't try to make sense out of what they're doing. Jesus shows them. They're way off base. Because a kingdom against itself, a team against itself, well, is no team you got to worry about. Or country or you know, city that you have to worry about. They'll never be productive. How about that? That's something. They'll never be productive. What scares me about Grenada while I'm just up here is that Grenada will never reach its potential because it stays divided along racial lines. It'll never be productive. Ever. Ever. Never, ever, ever. Got to get past that. How do we get past that? We look at something higher, someone higher. That's how we do it. But until we can get there, until it's about I blame you and I blame you and we blame us and all this stuff and we're not on the same team, then we got a goalie keeps kicking balls into our own goal and we're going to lose every time. We got to get past all that. Back to the scripture. Jesus is actually teaching them something. See, these folks knew that the devil was trickery. Trickery? Is that a word? He is tricky. He is trickalicious. He employed trickery and schemology. You get all kinds of words at Christ Community Church. He employed all those things. So they knew that. They just didn't know how he worked. What's funny is Jesus is actually teaching them. He's saying to them, y'all don't understand how Satan works. He's not divided. He's united. He's always trying to take over and destroy. Matter of fact, he said it this way in the Gospel of John. The thief doesn't come but to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wouldn't be around freeing people. That's not his agenda. So he's actually teaching them. And then he teaches them how to be victorious. He says, I'm not powered by Satan. I'm much stronger than Satan. I don't know if you picked up this argument in verse 27. In 27, he says, no one can enter a strong man's house, essentially, he says, unless he's stronger. And then he can tie him up. Then he can rob his house. What's Jesus saying? Boys, I'm here to tell you, somebody stronger than Beelzebub is in your midst right now. Y'all have missed that the power of God has been loosed right in your presence, and you're not catching it. You're not catching that the Son of God is here present with you. And I wonder, even in our lives, sometimes when we see things happen, if we miss the power of God being loosed in our lives, we just don't recognize it. Maybe we're not very grateful for his faithfulness evening after morning and evening after morning and week after week after week. Maybe we're not impressed with some of the things he does. You know, in the church in general, we're not always very impressed. We might hear somebody came to the Lord and we'll say, oh, that's great. I can get to McAllister still in 5 minutes. We come to church and we hear praise, and maybe God's working in your lives, maybe a song, maybe a word or a lyric that really touched you, and it's God working, but we don't think about it. Maybe there's somebody who decided, and actually I just heard this morning, decided to let down some addictive substances in order to improve their health and get freedom from that. You know, they're going to need God's help, but there's a miracle. You ever try to break a bad habit? Oh, God is the one who can do it. Think about that demon possession, that one who is caught up by an evil spirit to whom Jesus said, be loosed, and that spirit had to let go. What a miracle. The power of God had come and they didn't recognize it. Would you recognize the power of God in your presence, in your church, in your community? Because if the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the Son has come that we might have life and have it more abundant. Oh, there's a reason for us to say, thank you, Lord, for coming. He is stronger than our greatest opponent. He's even stronger than death. We talked about this in Sunday school, but there's a reason why we can trust in the Lord. He's got our back. I told my Sunday school class, I know exactly how long I'm going to live. Anybody want to guess? Till you die. How long, baby?
Forever.
Huh? Forever. That's right. I wasn't calling. How long, baby? I mean, Barbara, don't tell nobody I call you baby. I was pointing to my Annabeth back there, and they had the same answer. They said forever. Because I don't know if you all heard, but the good news is that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus wrote a lot of this Bible that we might know, that we might know that we have everlasting life. In this is life, that you have Jesus. Now, I'm going to transition from the way you know me now to the way I'll be there. And I can't tell you what all that's going to be like. I know one day I'll die in this world, but I'm going to have life eternal based on the promise of God. And God doesn't lie. And therefore, I don't have to worry about these things. This malicious opposition can only go so far because my God, who is stronger than every strong man out there, has beaten death and he's beaten the devil. I'm not worried. Now you watch me when I'm dying. Hopefully I do good and I can witness to y'all and smile, all that kind of stuff. That malicious opposition, it'll be there for you too, especially if you follow Christ. But you don't have to fret. You don't have to try to figure it out. Figuring out why people are mean to you doesn't stop them from being mean to you. Sometimes you just have to push through, but you can do that the way Jesus did. Jesus stuck to the truth of things. Jesus taught them and he warned them. Remember I asked you, why did he warn them and why did he teach them? Why do y'all think? Because Jesus loved them. Jesus is the one who teaches us, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Well, what happens when your enemies or your opposition, what happens when they love you? Because here's the second case of opposition. In verse 21, it says, but when his own people, that would have been his family, that would have been Mary. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would work with the multitude and sometimes not eat bread? Mary, did you know he was going to march to Jerusalem and hang on the cross until he was dead? That's hard for a mama to swallow, isn't it? So his own people said that he was out of his mind. Listen to verse 21. They went to lay a hold of him. They went to stop him because they said, you're out of your mind. They finally caught up with him, and he was in this big old group. And they stood out, and they called for him. They came for him. They called for him. The multitude felt a little uncomfortable. Jesus, your mom's here. What do you want us to tell her? She's like outside. And Jesus was like, tell her the same thing I've been telling y'all. God is the one who has brought us together. And the bond that he makes with us is stronger than the bond that our blood or our heritage or our ethnicity or any other thing. It's the strongest of bonds. And he looked around, he says, whoever it is that does the will of God, that's my brother, that's my sister and my mother. This is my family. But how hard it is to endure oppositions from those who love you and those whom you love. You think following Jesus is going to bring you praise from your family? What if it appears to them to be irresponsible? That's just irresponsible. You've got responsibilities. Responsibility becomes the magic word that lets everybody out of their commitment with God. You can be committed to God as long as you're responsible. As long as you do what seems to be right according to what we think is right. These folks saw Jesus and he seemed way off. He's not eating. Did you hear, Mary? He's not eating. I heard about your boy, Jesus. He's not eating. He's up all night. He's burning the candle at both ends. It's like he's just, I don't know. It's like he's out of his mind. Mary said to James and Joseph, the brothers of Jesus, we've got to go get him, boys. We've got to go get him and bring him back to Nazareth. Maybe being at home during Passover would be so good. Let's just go get him because I love him. What he's doing is so irresponsible. And so they run over there. But Jesus doesn't come away with them. Did he just shirk his responsibility? Did he just go off the normal? Was he not satisfied with being the church pew-sitting Christian who just goes and lets Jesus be the nice decoration of their life? Did he just do something totally different? He did. He went way off the script. Jewish families are closer than Southern families. And Southern families are closer than Northern families. Y'all got it. But he said, when you do the will of God, we're a forever family. How do you endure the opposition when your enemy loves you? Mary did not hate Jesus like the scribes hated Jesus. Mary loved Jesus. Jesus loved Mary. Nonetheless, Mary was being in opposition to Jesus right here. Later on, we'll see how Peter was in opposition to Jesus. And Jesus loved Peter, and Peter loved Jesus. This kind of opposition just needs to be endured. It makes all the more sense now when Jesus says, love your enemies, because some of your enemies might be the people you already love. But you can't let them stop you from your walk with God. Now, I know everybody's going to go out and shirk their responsibilities and dress in togas and walk on water and stuff. If you can, do it. Do it. And use your phone so we can all see it. My point isn't to get irresponsible. My point is to remember that your greatest responsibility is to God. Jesus is going to say, if you love your mother and your father more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your wife and kids more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your own life more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. Was he being arrogant? No, he's God. He's number one. And no matter how loving and how responsible the opposition may be against him, it will not succeed. Let Jesus be number one in your heart. Let him have the whole thing. These points of opposition are things we will still face. The followers of Jesus face these oppositions today. I live in a family that every time I talk to them, my mom has, she doesn't say it as much, because she's been down here and she knows y'all and she knows how it is. But almost everybody else, so when are you coming back? When are you coming back to Michigan? Why are you there? Why are you down there? And I tell them, I feel like God, this is where God called me. Yeah, I know all that, but why are you there? It doesn't seem responsible. My mother's mother, my grandmother, says, you know, you're breaking your mom's heart. She's got one child, four grandchildren, and you're 1,000 miles away from her, breaking her heart. She just lets me have it. What's my response? Shut up, you crazy old lady. I love my grandma. I'm not going to say that to her. I'm going to love her, but I am going to recognize she's in opposition to what God wants from me. And if God wants me somewhere else, I'll go. But I know where God wants us to be. But that doesn't mean the people who love you won't be some of your greatest opposition to what God wants from you. But I'm going to tell you, you stick with God. And you watch what God can do. The benefits to following God so outweigh anything else. This life in its shortness, if you want to talk about the rarest thing is that you and I get to have an opportunity in this world to bring glory, real glory, to God. That's the most shining and lasting beauty. That's the greatest of treasures. It's the greatest of missions and opportunities that we have in this short life. Don't miss it. Don't let the opposition be an excuse. Learn from Jesus. He faced those who hated him and wanted to destroy him, and they opposed him. He also faced those who loved him and were also opposing him. He faced them both. He loved them both. And somehow we got to learn to walk like that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I pray that as we walk through this world and we face the opposition that will come, that we'll learn from you, we'll learn from your example. And first, we'll just stand in awe because no one has done it like you do it. You're just awesome at it. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for being willing to take us on. Thank you for being willing to be our teacher and our Lord and our Savior. Help us, Father, to grow and to know that you are the pearl of great price. You are that treasure hidden in the field that's worth more than everything else. You are the one. Father, we pray that you'd be the one in our heart, truly. We give you all the praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to do business with Jesus, maybe you just need to cry out to him and say, Lord, help me. This man says you understand being busy, you understand opposition, and boy, am I busy and have some things or people opposing me. If you just need to call out to him for help, call out to him for help. If you want to come up here, I'll pray for you. If you want to pray and kneel down at the stairs, that's fine. If you want to just bow your head and call on Jesus where you are, awesome. But let me just say this. Don't waste an opportunity. If God started to do a work in you and show you something or relate to you, let him finish it. He's good. He'll show you. He'll teach you. He'll bring you along with him. All right, this time is yours.
Searched.
We're going to take up a morning offering. So I'm going to ask that the ushers would come forward. You know, if you have business to do with God, he's God. He always is, all week, all day, always. Father God, thank you for loving us. And I pray as we take up this offering that you'd bless us. And Father, we do, we look to you. You're our provider. Thank you for allowing us an opportunity to return a portion back that you've given. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Baby inside.
good all morning. And I'm just thankful for that. Y'all go out from here and face opposition the way Jesus would. That's just the challenge from today. You know, Wednesday night we have service, so y'all come to that. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We're not going to have that on Christmas morning. We're just going to have 11 o'clock service. So, but y'all look, you let the Lord guide you. You know, I know we're talking to folks and their schedule's so busy they ain't going to be able to make it. I understand that. The Lord understands that. Y'all, but we're going to be here. You know, if you can break away, break away. If you can't, you can't. That doesn't drop you out of heaven or anything. That's not going to get, you know, the frowny face put on. You know, I'm not going to unfriend you from Facebook or something. And, you know, so just remember those things. But if you come, just come together and worship. I haven't talked to the band. I don't know. It might be me singing. I don't know up here. I know Silent Night, though, and that was so pretty to sing it today. But anyways, I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let me pray us out. Father, thank you for who you are, for what you're doing. Thank you that you equip us. You give us all we need. You did that in Christ. It's finished. Everything we need for salvation. Through the Holy Spirit, all our communion, all our personal needs, the fruit, the person of Christ is with us. And then through your word, which is gives us and equips us for every good work and all teaching. Father, you've given us everything. We love you, and help us to be givers this season too. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready? Break!